very good afternoon to you and welcome to On The Radar Right News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I will be keeping you company up until 14:30. Now, of course, it's Friday, the 12th of September 2025 and the end of the work week. And with school still on holiday, many of us are easing into the weekend rhythm. Now, whether you are exploring the streets of Rundu, catching up on errands in Swakopmund, spending quality time with family in Ketmanswap, or relaxing under a tree in Otapi, thank you for choosing Eagle FM today. Now, here on the Reading News Analysis, we don't just skip the headlines. We take a closer look and ask the questions what that really matter. What does this mean for Namibians? How does it shape our daily lives, our opportunities, and our future? From national policies to local realities, we unpack the stories that impact us. Remember, your voice matters, so share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and WhatsApp. And follow us via Eagle FM website or Eagle FM app. Now, because this show is as much about you as it is about the news. Now, from the bustling streets of Windhoek to the scenery evenings of Barbers Bay, from the agricultural heartlands of Oshakati to the open plains of Mariental, wherever you're tuned in this Friday, we're glad to have you with us. This is On The Radar News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Now let's pause right here and I'll be back with more.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now today we are highlighting an exciting opportunity for Namibians, Velvicha University nursing students, graduates, and alumni. Now, Velvicha Integrated Services, in partnership with renowned German Healthcare Institute, Hessing Kliniken, and RKU Hospital, is opening doors for qualified Velvicha University Bachelor of Nursing Science students, graduates, and alumni to explore international career opportunities as registered nurses in Germany. Now, these programs not only provide invaluable professional experience, but also offer pathways for career growth in some of Germany's most reputable healthcare facilities. Now, if you are a Velvicha University student, graduate, or alumni looking to advance your nursing career internationally, this is an opportunity you won't want to miss. Now, the programs come with clear guidance on application requirements and deadlines to ensure timely and successful submissions. And to help us understand more about these opportunities and how interested candidates can apply, I am now joined in studio by Ms. Namona Kauluma, registrar at the Velvicha University. Good afternoon, Ms. Namona. It's a pleasure to have you with us right here on the Reader News Analysis.
Good afternoon, ma'am, and thank you for having me, and good afternoon to the listeners as well.
Kindly walk us through. Can you kindly tell us about Velvicha Integrated Services and its role within Velvicha University Group?
Okay, thank you. Velvicha Integrated Services is a registered company under the Ministry of Industrialization, Trade and SME Development in Namibia. And it serves as a commercial arm of the Velvicha University Group. Velvicha Integrated Services manages and commercializes the products and services aligned with the Velvicha University Group's strategic objectives. Its mandate is to drive business activities that reduce institutional costs and maximize revenue through strategic collaborations with internal and external stakeholders, and also delivering excellent service and maximizing shareholder value.
Mm.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, what is the main objective of this employment program in Germany for the Velvicha University graduate students and alumni?
The objective is to create awareness and also to encourage eligible Bolvita University Bachelor of Nursing students, graduates and alumni to apply for this exciting employment opportunity as a registered nurse in Germany through the collaborations that we have with Hessen Kliniken and RKU Hospital.
Okay. Now, who is eligible to apply for those nursing positions in Germany?
For you to be eligible to apply, you should have studied with Bolvita University, mm-hmm. and either as a graduate or you are an alumni of Bolvita University. So it's open to all students that have attended or have graduated under our institution.
Okay. Ms. Kaluma, elaborate further on the application process and important deadlines.
Yes. Okay, so there are two application processes depending on which program you are interested in. The first one is the Hessen Kliniken. So our target group, as we have said, is a Bachelor of Nursing Science students, graduates and alumni. And you should have, you should be a registered nurse, and application is that you should submit a CV only. That is for Hessen. We only need a CV, an updated CV of yours, and the deadline is the 26th of September 2025. And the contact, you should email your CV to the VIS, which is the abbreviation for the Bolvita Integrated Services, VIS recruitment at bolvita.com.na. An alternative email is maposai@wu.edu.na. And no late submissions will be accepted. That is for Hessen. And for the RKU Hospital, you should be a graduate from Bolvita and an alumni or an alumni. And the requirements for RKU are a bit different from what we are asking for Hessen. Mm-hmm. You should, the minimum, you should have worked for a minimum of 1 year or have 1 year working experience as a nurse. And you should have also experience of working with working in the ICU and patients on ventilation. And then you should have the German language. You should be proficient in the German language, level B2, and have a certificate, the level B2 certificate for you to be eligible.
Mm-hmm.
You are required to submit a CV, a cover letter, and all certified documents should be attached to your CV. And the deadline is also the 26th of September. And email it to wisrecruitments@bolvita.com.na or maposai@wu.edu.na, and no late submissions will be considered either.
Mm. Now, how can interested candidates perhaps get more information on this?
For they can go to, they can email to Bolvita Integrated Services email, which is the visrecruitments@bolvita.com.na, or the same email that I said earlier, maposai@wu.edu.na.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. Now, that's clear in terms of the email addresses. Thank you so much. Now, why are those opportunities so significant for Namibian nursing graduates and also students and alumni of the Bolvita University?
Mm. Yeah, this employment program offers a chance for career growth in internationally respected healthcare settings. And nurses gain valuable work experience abroad, and it will also enhance their skills and improve their prospects while building a global network.
Okay. And also, will the Bolvita Integrated Services provide support throughout the application and employment process?
Yes, Bolvita Integrated Services will provide support throughout. They will act as the facilitator to ensure that our graduates have access to these opportunities and receive timely updates and guidance, while the final hiring decision lies with the two institutions in Germany. Bolvita Integrated Services will assist with communication and clarification of any inquiries.
Okay. Are there any special preparation that candidates who are interested should perhaps consider before applying?
Yes, they just need to ensure that their CVs are updated, and for the RKU hospital, they have to meet the requirements, which is they should have 1 year work experience and also the language proficiency requirements.
Okay.
And they should also familiarize themselves with international nursing standards, which could also be beneficial to them.
Mm. What impact do you hope for those programs in terms of what it will have on graduates and the wider community?
Mm. We hope to empower individual nurses through international exposure and expertise, which will ultimately contribute to improving healthcare standards through knowledge transfer. And it also strengthens global partnerships supporting Namibian talent mobility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Ms. Kaluma, where can listeners find ongoing updates about similar employment opportunities?
Updates and new opportunities will be communicated through the Velvicha University, and also through the Velvicha Integrated Services official channels, which includes our emails and social media platforms. All interested candidates, we encourage them to follow our pages on social media and also stay connected and regularly check for the announcements as well.
Okay. Ms. Kaluma, your final words for those that are really interested about what you're sharing right now and really want to partake or apply.
Final words is just to say that this is a very interesting and exciting opportunity, and I encourage all those candidates that are interested in it to go for it, because it's going to open up doors for them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Namana Kaluma, for making time for us right here on the Radar News Analysis and just sharing that information with us.
Thank you for having me, and thank you to the listeners, and a great day ahead.
Okay.
Bye.
And there you had it from Ms. Namana Kaluma. She is the registrar at the Velvicha University. Also just sharing this information. For those of you who are interested, kindly do make use of the opportunity to apply. And you did hear that their services will be able to help you all throughout the process. Now, isn't that wonderful? With that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Now, remember, we're just getting started. We have yet more coming your way. So stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%. 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Press Secretary and Presidential Spokesperson Jonas Mbambo, on Wednesday said President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah cannot intervene in the Ndama East School dispute, as doing so would be seen as overstepping her constitutional powers. Mbambo explained that Namibia operates under a system of decentralization, meaning decisions on matters such as education are handled at regional and ministerial levels. And I quote, "If a school has been deemed illegal, there's no way the president can come and declare it legal. That would be seen as overstretching her authority," Mbambo said. Now, his remarks follow calls from frustrated parents of Ndama East school learners who had urged the president to travel to Rundu to resolve the matter. The parents allege that funds meant for Ndama East were diverted to Ndama South and accused regional leaders of politicizing the issue. Mbambo stressed that while the president cannot interfere in legal processes, every child has a right to education and the government remains committed to ensuring access to quality learning facilities. And she's, and I quote, "It is our top priority to make sure every child has a classroom and receives quality education," he added. Meanwhile, Education Minister Sanit Steenkamp stated that Ndama East School is not officially recognized by the Ministry of Education, Arts and Culture and has been operating illegally. However, some parents strongly disagree. Now, one such parent, Elina Kangume, questioned why the ministry only declared the school illegal now, despite it being operational for 3 years. And I quote, "If the school hadn't gone viral when AR leader Professor Job Amupanda visited, would the minister still be saying it's illegal?" she queried. Now, Kangube also highlighted the dangers faced by learners, saying many children have fallen victim to rape while walking long distances to already overcrowded schools. "It is September now. If I take my child to Ndama school, the classrooms are already full. Now where will teachers come from to teach these children, and which syllabus will they start with?" she continued. The parents vowed to keep their children at Ndama East School, saying it is the only safe place their children belong. "Come rain or thunder, our children will remain at the school," they declared. Now with that, let's pause right here and be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, of course, still talking about the Ndamba situation and the Ndamba story. We're now going to engage Mr. Paulo Sawanga, who is the founder of Naope, that is a parent in education. I always get it really, really twisted and up. Good afternoon, Mr. Paulo. It's a pleasure to have you right here with us on the Reader News Analysis.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me online. Now, coming straight in.
Of course. Now, Mr. Paulus, when we're talking about this Ndamba East situation, I think, it's now been in the media back and forth. The ball is on this side, and it's just, and of course, at the end of the day, we're talking about the children's education. Now, from your opinion, just exactly what do you think should be the way forward now? I mean, because we cannot just be caught up in a tug of words, but of course, a solution has to be made.
Yes, I think we are with this, on this, the same mind with regard to the situation at the school. The way forward, you know, as a national organization of parents in education, mm-hmm. one would have expected that, there could be a way that the parents of the concerned learners at the school could avail themselves and just to reach out to our organization so that we can truly go and look into the details of what is really a hindrance in the process of getting this very problem resolved. Because we know that we have observed that there is a numerous conflicting interest.
Yeah.
And this has been the root cause of the prolonged process of getting the school to be looked at in terms of maybe even finding a decent shelter for these learners. So the way forward from our part as a parents union is for us to meet with the parents. The same way they are inviting whoever they are inviting to come and look into the matter. Remember, this Kavango East is the region where Naope has been. It is the founding region.
Yeah.
And we have school boards and parents at the section, the region, and also at the section and the branch and the regions. We are actually in the region. But now, we were supposed just to come together as key stakeholders and look into the issue and see what is the lasting solution. But as we speak, the way forward should be for us to leave the matter of the school, of the founders of the school, to decide, are they with the real genuine idea of registering the school as a private school or it is a public or state school, so that the right approach in terms of decision making should be done. You know, like you have learned that this issue is not new. It has been coming forth and back and no lasting solution. This is because sometimes they make up their mind to give the school as a public school. When they give it as a public school, it means it will be a state school. According to the Education Act number 3 of 2020, there is a proper guidelines how the public school or state school is to be established, with no exception to this very one. And that process is not being exhausted, it's not being complied with. Because when you say this is a public school or a state school, yeah, and then you submit your application, and then the next day the ministry entrusted with this responsibility come to you and they say, okay, Now, in accordance to the criteria or the guidelines to establish a public school, it is required that the plot needs to be transferred from the town council to the Ministry of Education. And then once the documentation, the legality of the plot is transferred to education, it will then require that the process starts, which includes recruitment of teachers. You cannot now come back and say, no, you cannot recruit, you cannot interview teachers because we are already here.
Yeah.
This is what has been causing a hindrance into the proper management of getting this public school established. Now you are told, no, we need to comply to the Education Act. If it's a public school, the Ministry of Education have to take ownership of the school, take over the affairs of the school, bring in a school board, and let the school governance be entrusted in the school board. Not in the unemployed teachers, qualified teachers, not in the parents alone, not into a particular activist or so, but it must be a public school where there is a functioning school board. And this is what hasn't been happening. The way forward is the Ministry of Education should still revisit itself, come to the school. Let us, as a parents' organization, call the meeting with the parents. We witness the parent to hand over the school, the plot, the owner of the land, the plot, the town council, hand it over to the Ministry of Education. Let the Ministry of Education be given the opportunity to take on the process and finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that it will become then a state and a school, and the recruitment should be done like any other school. Appointment for the principal should be done like any other public school. Unless if they want to say they want it to be a private school, then let them take ownership that they must still be in compliance. They cannot let the kids of that number be kept in the trees, exposed to rain and wind until this time, just because you don't want the government, the Ministry of Education, to take over because you have an interest of employment.
That's true. Yeah.
Or you have an interest of compensation whatsoever. The parents, I spoke to them already, maybe 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was there with the headman of Ndama. They said, we want this school to go to the state. Mm-hmm. But now some came back and said, no, we must be employed. See,
yeah.
So we must just be very, very honest. Now it looks like as if the government did not, the Ministry of Education did not mind the situation. No. It's not the only project school that was having an issue. There were others, just like the Honorable Minister of Education, Sanestian Camp, truly put it very, very well on what transpired with this school. But people want to make it so fresh to look as if we were not mindful of what was going on at the school. Mm-hmm. When we know there are people who have a twisted interest, who are behind the parents and trying to cordon these learners not to be taken to the new school, which was built 500 meters away from that place. Because of the conflicting interest, the ministry decided, let us just put up a new structure at the nearest plot that local authority can give us. And the local authority gave them that plot, and they built a new school there. But because we have got our own interest, we cordon off the learners, mobilize the parents, they must not go to and register their learners in the other school. So what are we trying to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Who is trying to fool who now here? I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah. And the parents have declared that come rain or thunder, their children will remain at the school. And of course, I think we're failing to understand that when two elephants fight, it is the grass that suffer. Now the children in this regard, the learners in this regard are the ones suffering. And I think the parents are also, or whoever is involved, all the parties that are involved, I think we are not actually seeing that picture. And perhaps we really just need to reach an amicable solution at this moment in time, for the benefit of the learners. I mean, at the end of the day, by a couple of years now, we'll be able to measure that perhaps it wasn't fruitful for this battle to be ongoing. Something needed to be done so that we can now focus on the children or the learners' education moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. You see, we are actually understanding the desperate situation of getting this matter resolved. But then, unfortunately, I can honestly tell you, from our organization, we met the school boards of the school already, let me say, a year ago. And we told them, if you truly need the parents association to come and attend to this problem, invite the parents. Let us as parents union come and talk to the parents. We cannot talk to teachers. We cannot talk to learners. The teachers have their own voice with the teachers, Nantu, you know, because we knew what they want. We told them, let us meet with the parents. Today, as we speak, as if you knew, I met the same school board chairperson of the school. I asked her, why, since we requested to meet the parents, you went, you never came back to us and tell us to go and meet the parents? Now we are seeing what's happening at the school, and you wrote all the letters to the leaders separately, individually. Are you not seeing that you are causing more confusion and more conflict over the situation? Why you did not allow us as Naope to meet with the parents? She couldn't answer. And I said, but are you saying you are not aware that you are owing us a meeting with the parents so that we can look at the act and guide the parents accordingly? Now as we speak, they are saying, no, I think we made a mistake. We are going to sit and invite you as a parents organization to come and talk to the parents so that we can see how we can approach the ministry and involve all key stakeholders. Because this is what we're supposed to do. The lasting solution is for people to be honest and be genuine. But if we are going to mix and bring in political interests, it's going to entertain debates, all the social media talking about it, making names for ourselves on the expense of these exposed vulnerable children, which is a very, very disappointing situation, you know?
That's true. Now, of course, moving forward with other schools in Kavango East, I think, do you think perhaps there needs to be a proper assessment to identify any other school that is perhaps similar to Dama East, or just exactly, so that in future we can deal with the situation and all of them collectively if need be, now so that another situation cannot come and rise up few months from now, and especially now before we even head into a new year next year, so that we will know and even the parents will know moving forward, what's the tangible solution, or exactly what do you see? Are there perhaps other schools similar to Ndama School that side, or is this perhaps the only one?
You know, we have a lot of challenges when it comes to issues affecting the schools, just as you put it. Today I was even with some of the parents who came here. And there's a number of issues, not only in Dama East. So, but now you see the challenge that we have here. And I always also advise, even the last time we had with our ministers meeting at the Ministry of Education, if you buy a car, it runs on four wheels. You cannot put on one wheel and expect it to deliver its maximum, service to the way it was designed. The Ministry of Education need to repent from the truth that they cannot run the ministry without genuine involvement of key stakeholders. This is why we have so much mismanagement of resources in this ministry. They don't want to accept that the parents are very, very important role players, key stakeholders in education, not only to be used. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. That's why we formed Naope, so that parents can have their own union standing and speaking for them, analyzing and looking at the moment. Look, if you go to any school, talk about the teacher learner ratio. There's a lot of challenges because we are not doing the right thing. The educators, the Ministry of Education, as much as they are doing good, they must accept that. Their focus will be more on academic improvement, performance improvement, you see, excellence in delivering the teaching and learning. So, but when it comes to operational planning, we need to do it together. No matter how much they want to cover up what's not working in the ministry, covering up even hygiene in the school is not going well. The classrooms are overcrowded. That we cannot do without proper planning. Mm-hmm. And for the ministry to do a proper planning, that's why we need to involve all the key stakeholders, especially on the three legs, learners, teachers, and parents. When I'm referring to parents, mm-hmm. it's not the parents whom we are putting in the school body, and then we begin that's not effective. We need to bring Naoto on board, Nantu on board, Nanso on board fully.
Excellent.
And then we can sit around the table and call a spade a spade. Mm-hmm. And then say, this is working, this is not working. This the problem we have is the Ministry of Education must repent from covering up things which are not in order. Mm-hmm. And our children are failing. Our children are exposed to teenage pregnancy. Our children are underperforming. So minimal percentage of our learners, our children are able to make it to the university. It's not because not because we don't have enough resources to deliver more excellent results. Simple because we are not doing a proper planning together. Even if you go now and check, when last they do a routine school inspection where the teachers and the parents and the learners and key stakeholders are involved? It's only been done by the circuit management. Mm-hmm. The circuit management where you find principal. How can you be a referee and you are the goalkeeper yourself and you are the striker at the same time? You expect that to be sport. Which sport is that?
I do appreciate that part where you say that the ministry must repent from covering
up. They have to repent from this.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they must be very honest to themselves mm-hmm. that we need to come together and plan together and do things together. Then we'll improve on infrastructure development, on performance improvement, even the effective functioning of the school governance. It will also work out. But if we continue with the current status quo, it's very disappointing. And when the thing is going against the act of education, that's unlawful. Therefore, a proper channel should be done. What is unlawful? What's not procedural right according to the act? It has to be faced with the reality that it should deserve.
True. Mr. Paolo Sawanga, I thank you so much for your time and, of course, sharing your sentiments with us. And I also do appreciate how you're mentioning that this is one of the reasons why the National Organization of Parents in Education was created. And thank you for calling a spade always, eh? So thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Radar News Analysis.
Thank you very much. Please let's put our hands together and just to get rid of this situation at Nama East and many other schools that are facing the similar situations. Let us go on the ground and truly see what is happening and let us just call a spade, fix what's not in order. Call if the principal and the secretary, so whoever is failing, even the parent, let us just call it a spade and we fix our performance.
Yes.
You see? We cannot, as if we are waiting for someone to come from where, who will come and rectify our situation, if it's not ourselves. It's very unfortunate with the situation of Dama East, but we know it's been attended to by the ministry, and we are getting the development. There is truly hope at the end of the tunnel. We are very sure the situation will be rectified very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot speak on their behalf, but as it has got from where, how it looks, how it feels, but the parents and the teachers at that particular school must be honest.
Yes.
And they must respect the people who are coming to help them. Mm-hmm. They must also respect the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we must be very, very active. We must do things in a matured way. We must not be just the social activists. It does not help.
And do things on an emotional impulse.
Just because you want to impress your neighbor, it does not work like that. We are here as Naope. Anytime we can be involved, we can be consulted. Our parents are on the ground. They want to help where they can.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir.
You are welcome, my sister. Yeah. Always.
Okay. And there you had it from Paulus Wanga, and he is the president and founder of the National Organization of Parents in Education, also abbreviated as NAOPE. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here. We'll be back shortly with more right here on the Radar News Analysis.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now. And
of course, today is Friday, so we're now calling up our winner for the ShopRite YouSave gift voucher. A very good afternoon. You are tuned in, pardon me, not really tuned in, but you are now live on AA right here on the Radar News Analysis. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, yes, ma'am. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Am I speaking to Mr. Simon?
Yes, it's Mr. Simon Simon Shafradino, ma'am. Okay. Who am I talking to?
You're speaking to Happy, calling you from Eagle FM.
Yes.
You are live on air now. So anything you see can be used against you in the court of law, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So I'm calling to inform you that you are this Friday's lucky winner,
yes,
of the $500 Namibian ShopRite YouSave gift voucher.
Hello. Serious?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Because I SMS'd that last night.
Ah.
I saw the promotion on your page.
On
Facebook. Then from there, I tried my luck.
Wow, it's never too late to actually try your luck. Hey?
Yeah, it's never too late. I'm the winner.
You are the winner, sir.
Congratulations to myself.
Yes, congratulations to you, Mr. Simon.
And also thank you for your page.
Mm.
I really normally used to follow your page,
mm-hmm,
and I'm really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and thank you, guys. You must continue advising, and it's really wonderful.
Okay. Are you a faithful listener,
yes,
of Eagle FM?
Pardon?
Are you a faithful listener of Eagle FM and a follower of Eagle FM on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm a follower of Eagle FM. I normally follow your page, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes.
That's really good to know. Thank you so much for those compliments.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm sure the team is taking note.
I'm very excited.
Okay. So my colleagues will actually get in touch with you to let you know when and how you can come and pick up your voucher. But in other words, again, congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And of course, there you had it from our lucky winner for today. Now, remember, you can also be the next lucky winner. All you have to do is partake and make sure that you tune in to On The Radar News Analysis every Friday around between 13:45 to find out if you are the lucky winner. Now, let's pause right here and we'll be back with more news. This is On The Radar News Analysis.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is
actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, and we are back. Of course, now we have Dwight Links. Good afternoon, Dwight Links, and welcome to On The Radar News Analysis.
How are you doing, Happy? And good afternoon to the listeners.
I'm doing well, thank you. Now, Dwight, I know that you have been following or attending the Office of the Prime Minister's strategic plan for the 2030. Okay, Dwight, just tell us more about this and what was highlighted. What was one of those important issues that really stood out?
Well, Happy, the particular event itself, obviously, as it cites in the event's name, was that it was a launch of a strategic roadmap or strategic plan, but this is specifically meant for the public service, obviously. Now, the two main speakers at the event itself was the Prime Minister himself, that being Prime Minister Ngurare, as well as also one of the two executive directors, that being Executive Director Gladys Pickering. And both of them actually, cited or reiterated the same particular message, specifically that the public service should be there specifically to work for the Namibian nation. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, it should be a scenario in terms of also ensuring that you see cohesiveness and quicker processing, quicker service delivery, as well as also improved engagement with the rest of the nation taking place. Now, this is the aspect of improved engagement with the rest of the nation is where the executive director herself, Gladys Pickering, emphasized if we can call it robust or more like an aggressive pursuit by the office of the prime minister,
mm-hmm.
to do or to adapt or to adopt e-governance, meaning electronic governance infrastructure and systems, and a digitalization of service delivery in the next particular 5-year period, obviously, which is from this year into 2030. and at the heart of this should be a scenario of basically streamlining and improving the role that the public sector plays in terms of service delivery for the country. Then the Prime Minister himself, Happy, cited Namibia should emulate the image, or specifically the roadmap that a country like Singapore took. He even jokingly stated, that you can take Singapore in its size and you can put it in the Etosha National Park, and then you will still have enough space for the wild animals in Etosha National Park to technically still enjoy their own space or personal freedom. Which is a fact. I mean, that is specifically how small Singapore is. But Singapore, Happy, has more people than Namibia. And Singapore, that does not have natural resources, cannot brag about any natural resources, is listed as one of the world's top well-governed countries in the world. And that is what the Prime Minister cited specifically: Namibia should strive to achieve. Now, the listener out there obviously will ask, in an economic sense, what does this particularly have to do with the particular economic aspirations or goals of the rest of the nation? Well, he cited, if they saw one of the two particular social media updates that I sent from the particular event itself,
yeah,
was that the Prime Minister cited purchase orders should not take weeks to be processed. Invoices shouldn't take months to be processed or be paid. This specifically citing that the relationship of the public sector and the private sector should become so cohesive in a scenario that it cites, a good relationship basis, because basically trade in many cases and commercial activities based upon good relations and as well as also notion of trust. The trust on the one side means that a consumer can always come back to you citing that they know that Happy is there to sell more of this product after they bought it the first time. And the second scenario that you specifically, I'm just using you as an example, Happy, sorry, that you as a business person, Happy, would know is that there is going to be further consumers. You can obviously see from the actual reaction in terms of interacting with your service that they will continuously come back for more in terms of engagement, thus setting the scene in terms of, trade in good faith, business activity in good faith.
Actually,
so
yes.
the Prime Minister didn't cite, that there might be some bad flavors, but he cited that an element of good faith should rather be practiced from the public sector side in terms of taking Namibia to the next level in its aspirations.
That's a very good point, right, Dwight. I mean, imagine private businesses doing business with the government and then delay in payment. It kind of just strains on their business as well. And of course, it can actually lead to some businesses closing down. I mean, if you can't pay your employees on time, they might also have to leave. And therefore, we kind of have to put the money where the mouth is, in terms of the government, because we can't be talking about economic empowerment. And we are the one also kind of delaying in terms of, amplifying our people.
Happy, yes, it's a yes and a no scenario in terms of that particular picture that you sketched there, because the fear has been from previous heads of states as well as the previous prime ministers that we've had is that the Namibian business sector or business people or even entrepreneurs should not just structure their businesses with government being their only client in mind.
Okay.
Yeah. That obviously creates a imbalanced or an unbalanced dependency scenario. So, for example, in the event, obviously, that there is disaster risk response that the government would have to do, this means they would then have to take money that was potentially meant for procurement from the private sector and thus use that money to procure emergency items, for example, foodstuffs. We've seen it recently with the malnutrition response that the government had to do, which ended now at the start of August to, I think, 2 August. The Prime Minister cited in just before the Parliament went on recess in June, that at 2 August the national drought emergency would end on 2 August. So that meant that the government had to take financing or budgeting from other departments and other planned projects that they were supposed to have allocated to in purchasing some of these items, which are mostly basic items like food and water and other particular aspects in terms of consumption for households.
Yeah.
In order to stem the potential damage that malnutrition can have on the rural communities. So in that scenario, you could then debate, yes, a business that is a retail store, would derive great benefit, in supplying under disaster risk management scenarios.
Yeah.
And a normal business that was doing, let's say you were selling copy paper to the government.
And it's no longer an emergency now at this point.
Yes, you would be told, you know what, you stand at the back of the line. Unfortunately, we can't continue with this business. And if you were that copy paper business that was just planning on having the government as your sole client, it is a damaging strategy to employ. And ultimately, it's a very self-destructive business mindset to have.
That's true.
Mind you, there are businesses, obviously, that are meant that that only, strive to service the government.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that would be defense and other particular major projects, for example, like building dams and building roads. Because let's face it, Happy, you and me, we don't have the money to order a personal road in our street. That's obviously on the basis that the road is not tarred in your street or in my street, which it is last time I checked. So, obviously those are not things that we can immediately consume, even if we use it every day, meaning, it's like a service provided that has a 75-year if I can call it time frame in terms of usage and being adequate for usage. So it obviously speaks volumes, but primarily in terms of what the Prime Minister cited. I have to state also, Happy, that there were limited copies of the strategic plan printed. These were only meant for the dignitaries like the ministers and deputy ministers and ambassadors and representatives of the various UN agencies at this particular event. So they didn't even have anything for the rest of us in terms of the media to take with us. But the plan is that it would be available digitally on the website of the Prime Minister's office. So we'll have to see it at a later time frame in terms of, you know, what it encases, how it works, how it falls in line specifically with NDP 6, as well as also the trying to achieve the various developmental goals that Namibia has said yes to, pertaining to the SDGs, obviously, because later this month, happy just to cite once again, Namibia, you know, would obviously be participating at the United Nations General Assembly, specifically, which is obviously the platform where most heads of state around the world attend.
Yeah.
And then we see, you know, in terms of what kind of feedback would be given there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Dwight, thank you so much for making time for us. But wait, I didn't actually ask you, what's your takeaway home at this strategic plan for 2025, 2030? What's that one thing that really stood out for you?
Well, it's the two particular major points that I cited there, Happy, in terms of, you know, the building a closer relationship with the private sector in Namibia, meaning, you know, if service providers, which are in the private sector, provider service, you know, settlement of accounts, settlement of invoices, generation of purchase orders, obviously would dictate, you know, how quickly, you know, this relationship moves forward or evolves. Because the ideal scenario, obviously, is that you've got NAMRA that is a tax collection agency, which you can sugarcoat their name, whether it be revenue collection or tax collection. It's the same thing that they would be doing, because it's revenue for the government and it's tax that they obviously, you know, collect from us. Their aim obviously would be based upon how well the positive results that NAMRA would obviously be continuously reporting would be based upon how well and how dynamic the growth, the business activity, the commercial activity would be in terms of the private sector and the public sector. Sort of like, if we can say, them evolving together in this newer ambition that the Prime Minister's office has stated. The second scenario is obviously we have to look at the extent of the digital adoption, the e-governance adoption that the Executive Director Gladys Pickering alluded to in her particular address. She cited that this will be an aggressive particular point that they will pursue across the government level. So we're assuming from local authority level to regional authority to ministerial authority and then to the Prime Minister's office, because you need that cascading effect. All systems need to talk to each other. So we're potentially also looking at a robust introduction of various ICT infrastructure across the country, because it's all good and well you saying let's buy computers, but then you realize that you need other computers to connect these computers to each other, because we will be generating a lot of data. Specifically, if you can talk to just any, you know, basic administrative officer in a ministry or in a local authority or in a regional authority, and you ask them how many paperwork do they generate every day or process, a lot of them will sometimes tell you it's a lot of stuff that they have to deal with. And in many cases, electronic systems ultimately help improve that paper, you know, that paper handling, that paper storage, that paper, paper transference scenarios in many particular public sector realms. So we'll just have to see how it rolls out, how it actually takes effect, how it actually improves service delivery, how it actually leads to improved economic results that you can see in real life, and ultimately, how does this then cascade downwards to you and me and the broader Namibian economy?
Mm. Okay. Dwight Links, thank you so much for making time and educating us in that regard.
Not a problem. Thank you very much, Happy.
Okay. And there you had it from Dwight Links, of course, a voice that many of you are very much familiar with. He's a journalist and a reporter right here at Eagle FM. Now for that, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. Now remember, if you want to partake in the news analysis, 083-288-401 is the number in studio.
Music.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear.
Welcome back. And now, of course, comparing Namibian currency to other currencies. Now, $1 today will get you 17 Namibian dollars and 36 cents. £1 sterling will get you 23 Namibian dollars and 52 cents. One Australian dollar is equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 53 cents. And €1 is equals to 20 Namibian dollar and 36 cents. One Botswana pula is equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 30 cents. And one Kenyan shilling is equals to 0.13 Namibian dollars. Now, in regards to what's happening in regards to latest in trading economics, the Bank of Russia cut its benchmark interest rate by 100 basis points to 17% in its September 2025 decision. Now, the third consecutive rate cut, albeit softer than the market consensus of a sharper 200 basis points cut. Now, the move marked 400 basis points in reduction since the benchmark rate was held at the record high of 21% for 6 months to June. The central bank noted that monetary conditions have eased through the year but remain tight enough to combat the elevated levels of inflation, which have remained above the target of 4% for over 2 years. Now, India's consumer price inflation accelerated to 2.07% in August 2025, up from an upwardly revised 1.61% in July, broadly matching market expectations. Now, this marked the first monthly increase in inflation in 10 months, though it remained close to the Reserve Bank of India's lower tolerance threshold of 2% under its inflation targeting framework. Food prices, which make up nearly half of the CPI basket, fell 0.69%, moderating from a 1.76% decline in July. The Czech Republic's current account deficit widened sharply to 14.94 billion in July 2025. That is from 6.87 billion in the corresponding month of the previous year, coming in slightly below market forecast of 15 billion shortfall. The yield on the UK's 10-year grit slipped to below 4.6%, its lowest in a month, after data showed the economy stalled in July, matching expectations. Now, growth over the 3 months to July was 0.2%, also in line with forecasts, but industrial and manufacturing output unexpectedly declined while the trade deficit widened slightly. The weak data added to pressure on gilt yields as investors weighed the outlook for fiscal and monetary policy. Chancellor Rachel Reeves is preparing further tax hikes in November to address a new multi-billion pound budget gap, raising concerns about growth prospects. Meanwhile, the Bank of England meets next week with no change in rates expected following August cuts. Markets are now focused on the November 6 meeting just ahead of the budget, where another rate reduction is widely anticipated as policymakers balance sluggish activity, fiscal tightening, and their disinflation goals. Of course, that's what we had for you today in terms of trading economics and economic indicators. Let's pause right here now, take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be telling you what's making headline in terms of news beyond the borders. Your contributions, opinions, and questions are still welcome right here on the Reader News Analysis. Just dial 083-288-401.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back, and now it's time for news beyond the borders. We're starting off in South Africa regarding the G20 tourism ministers meeting, which has revealed that South Africa has a large informal tourism sector.
Shadalil is hosting the G20 Tourism Ministers meeting in Mpumalanga today. The event will bring tourism ministers together to finalize the action plan that is poised to drive sustainable tourism development among the G20 member countries. For more, we cross live to SABC News reporter Dumelo Machogo. Good afternoon, Dumelo. Now, as we start, we see some colorful displays behind you. Perhaps let's just start there with what's happening there behind you.
Well, indeed, Mfundo, there is a vibe here at the tourism, G20 tourism ministers meeting here at the Kruger National Park. Just behind me, it's actually, vendors that are actually selling their products here, artists and also, people that are selling products that are made from beads, including hats, including scarves, and also, a jewelry that has been made. But inside there, that's where the ministers now are actually in a close session. So the ministers there are discussing issues that will actually ensure that they promote the sustainability within the tourism sector. But also, you know, Mfundo, they are, have been talking about saying that, you know, digital innovation is actually one of those cornerstones that is going to ensure that actually they grow this industry, especially the tourism industry. You'll know that during this week, there have been a hackathon of about 48 students from higher learning institutions institution from 21 higher learning institutions in the country that have been taking part, and three groups from those 48 students actually were finalists, and then one of the group actually won this morning here at the ministers' meetings. But let's speak to the winners and to the students that have actually took part in the hackathon and won in the hackathon. Tegan, your group, The Catalyst, won within the hackathon. Just talk to us about the problem that you guys had, and also what do you guys wanted to solve?
So we've noticed that South Africa has a very large informal sector, especially when it comes to tourism industries. But the problem is that these vendors, the local community, they don't have a platform whereby they can reach international and domestic tourists and actively sell their crafts to them without being haggled or, you know. So we've identified that problem and we want to change it, give them a platform, boost income into these communities, give them a voice, and basically promote cultural preservation and pride in South Africa.
And also talk to me about, you have designed the app. Talk to us about the app and what the app look like, and what can people learn from this app.
So essentially the app is a booking place. It's a marketplace. We have elements. So for example, you can find bookings to come to the Kruger National Park, but it's integrated with augmented reality videos to enhance experiences. And we have a local marketplace where local vendors can register, sell their products. You learn information about the vendor. You see reviews about the vendor. You get to learn how to pronounce the thing that they are selling. Book experiences where you learn how to make what the product that they are selling. So it encompasses inclusivity and lets everybody reach these locals, because they are the ones that know what South Africa is about.
Fantastic. Also, let's bring in Innocentia. Of course, Innocentia, you are from the University of Mpumalanga. Talk to us about working with other students from other universities. This idea that you guys came up with, how is it going to work? Is it going to work throughout South Africa, or is it only going to be based in a certain region?
Thank you so much for that question, and welcome to my province. It feels so surreal to actually get to win whilst we are here in home ground. Basically, what we are doing as a hack catalyst is not only just having the app, but the initial idea is to build a hologram hub. What we have noticed is that within Africa, we don't have a hologram, something that showcases tourism within the AI sphere. So what we are doing, we are creating an innovation hub that basically preserves our traditions, preserves our heritage, and just to showcase various historical figures that we have within the tourism sector that we have within South Africa. So what happens at the hologram hub? The tourist comes and they're also seeing who? They're also seeing the local vendors. Not only the local vendors, but they're also able to see the holograms. They're able to see your King Ushaka Zulu greeting that person. Can you imagine? We are here, we are seeing statues, but we don't even know what the voice of Paul Kruger was like. But during that phase of the hologram hub, we are able to see what South Africa is all about, what the province is all about. So what we desire to do is to have the hologram hub being erected first in one province. So that particular province, that hologram hub will tell the story of that province. We don't want you to only go to one designated area, but we want you to fill the hearts of the province. So our idea is to have it in one province first, and then we're going to go into other provinces as well.
You guys, 170,000 rand. What are you guys going to do with this money? I know that the three other groups, they will be getting over about a million that you guys are going to share. But talk to us about the 170,000 rand that you guys have won. What are you guys going to do about it to ensure that, you know, the products that they're being developed?
We are happy that the money has come. We're excited. But what we're going to do as a team is first work around the actual incubation. We believe that we still have so many various ideas within that will work towards the integration of this hologram hub. So what we're going to do, we're going to come together. We'll work with a structure. I believe that the department will also help us with financial visibility and the financial structure, because we don't want to end up when I blew it and we don't know what to do with the 170,000 rand.
Meanwhile, one of South Africa's most notorious rapists and murderers, Thembo Bester, has taken court action to block Netflix from broadcasting a documentary about his life, including how he allegedly faked his death and escaped from prison. His lawyers argued that Beauty and the Beast was defamatory, but the streaming giant defended its plan to release the three-part investigation. Now, Bester's partner, celebrity Dr. Nandiba Mangogoduma, features in the documentary, having allegedly helped him escape. She's part of the court bid to halt the release. Now, of course, Doki does not, has responded that they do not, it does not violate Mangoduma's rights. And the High Court in Pretoria judge Sulet Poterin says convicted rapist Thabo Bester and Dr. Nandiba Mangoduma knew the documentary would be aired. And 2 weeks prior, the trailer was out. Let's take a listen to that.
Well, Judge Sulet Potro was scathing as she ruled that Nandiba Mangoduma's claim that the matter was urgent was self-created and was also critical of her legal team, who the judge said placed the opponents under undue pressure by the filing of their late papers, and that they knew the documentary would be aired as early as August.
The application for the doctor was set down the day before the streaming of the documentary. This is simply inaction until the hour of reckoning. It is common cause that already on 20 August 2025, the doctor and Ms. Reed knew that the documentary would be screened on 12 September 2025. The trailer was in fact aired on 20 August 2025. This is 19 days, close to 2 weeks in court dates before the launching of this application. Even if a court should take into consideration that consultation is difficult with an incarcerated person, she had, according to her affidavit, had telephonic consultations and in-person consultations with the doctor. And Ms. Reed should have obtained the necessary permissions to have an in-person consultation with the doctor any day after 20 August 2025. I find that the application is not urgent and it is struck from the roll. A de bonis propriis cost order was sought against Ms. Reed. I have exercised my discretion and the order of costs is as follows. The applicant is to pay the costs on scale C.
On Thabo Bester's application, Judge Potro found that if he finds that he should suffer defamation, he has a redress.
More importantly, he does not at all in his application set out why he will not obtain substantial redress. There is not even a single averment in this application setting this out. The quoted case law is clear that this is an absolute requirement, because if substantive redress can be obtained, the urgent application must fail. But in any event, Mr. Bester can obtain substantial redress. Defamation can be sued for. The case law is clear. Furthermore, the right to silence, the right to a fair trial, and the right to be innocent until found guilty is not in any way affected by the utterances referred to. No judge will be influenced by any documentary. Witnesses will be exposed to cross-examination. The public will form an opinion, but that is a byproduct of the criminal justice system and does not affect the rights of Mr. Bester as claimed.
Criselda Lewis, SABC News at the High Court in Pretoria.
Water crisis. Borehole owner supplies Westbury residents with water.
Calm has returned to Westbury and Coronationville. This is following 2 days of violent protests over prolonged water supply interruptions. Here's Lupang Alam on the ground for us this hour. So Lupang, talk to us about what's happening now there in Coronationville. Has Calm really been restored?
Mkholisi, that's correct. We did not see any form of tension here this morning when we arrived. We also do know that community members have also been clearing up the debris from the violent protests that we've seen over the last 2 days. I'm moving out of shot now, Mkholisi, to give you a picture of where we currently are. Now, this is a borehole center, basically. Now, that borehole that you would see at the moment is inside a mosque, and these boreholes are supplying water to these residents. It's privately owned, but the priest of this particular mosque has taken it upon himself to basically assist community members with getting water. You'd notice so many buckets, and that's really the life that these residents have to live at this moment. We're going to try and speak to some residents, just basically asking them if they are able to survive with the water. Okay, she'd not like to speak on air, but we have seen over the course of the day multiple people coming in. Mkholisi, some people come as far walking, by the way, as far as from Sophia Town Police Station, which is over 5 kilometers away. Notice some using trucks to basically transport this water, some using their vehicles, some walking, some using trolleys, for example. And I think at this point, this is the only solution that they have. Now, what we heard from the Johannesburg mayor, Dada Morero, yesterday was that he had promised that water tankers, water trucks as well, would be deployed to this area. We are yet to see any water truck. We have been driving around the area to try and find out if we are able to spot at least one water tanker, one water truck, and we are unfortunately not at a stage where we can confirm that those trucks have been deployed. And Mkholisi, we're going to speak to the imam now. We are just going to find out how much this probably cost him, because we do understand that this borehole needs electricity in order to keep pumping water. Now, this is supplying thousands of people with water, Mkholisi, and it's really quite a small borehole that is currently being used, and it's not really enough at this point to ensure that all the people from these the Westbury community, Coronation, Nuclear, Newlands as well. So we are actually just going to walk to him right now to get a sense of how much this might have cost him, and also really how this entire process works, and also to find out what the initial idea was in order for him to have these boreholes at his mosque. Imam, thank you so much for your time. You're live on SABC News. We were speaking off camera about these particular boreholes, and I also just found out that they need constant electricity to keep pumping water so that these residents can at least try and do something with the little water they can get from here.
Yeah, the thing is that we're just trying to help out the community, because as we know, since 2022, in Coronation, Westbury, there was no water. So we as a Muslim community in Coronation, we decided to make a borehole since 2022. Our intention is nothing else. We don't need money from people. We do everything ourselves. We don't collect nothing from the community. We donate this to just give out to the community only. That's our only purpose, nothing else.
And this borehole operates throughout the day into the night, just so people can come get some water. And if you could just talk to us with some of the challenges this area faces with regards to water. Is it a constant problem? Is it a problem that can be solved? We also did hear the mayor yesterday saying that they deploy water trucks. We have not yet seen those.
According to my experience here in Coronation, there was no water since 2022. Maybe Westbury, they can have water. Slove Park here, they can have water, but only Coronation only. And even people from other area, they ask, why only Coronation? So, but we just understand, God knows best what is behind all these things.
Well, thank you, sir.
I have also to special to thank the Uncle Ismail Hafji, because he is the owner of the place. I'm the just the imam. So also, it's trying to make many things also towards the community. So the challenges which maybe I can speak now, at least the lights are on every day. But the only thing, the trucks sometimes they are not in the area like every day, you know. So in that, people are coming to get water from us.
Thank you so much, Imam. That's Imam from the...
Moving on to Zambia, the government of Zambia is impressed with the quality works on some roads in Lusaka.
Morning and evening drives in Lusaka call for utmost patience due to the heavy traffic on majority of the roads. This is why the Ministry of Local Government has embarked on rehabilitation and upgrade works on some key roads in the city. Among the roads receiving attention is the Fred Joe Road in Garden area, as well as the district commonly known as Obama Road in Lusaka's Charleston area.
When they do the base, we take the samples. We also check on site whether it's compacted properly. And the last one which they've just done is the asphalt, the surfacing, and that one we've also taken the cores. But prior to that, we're also monitoring the quality that it's read at the right temperature.
Other roads being upgraded from single to dual carriage is the Simon Mwansakapopo Road, as well as Ibex Main Street. A check here revealed that works are progressing well, with the contractor optimistic that the works will be completed on time.
So far, we have achieved 27.5% of the physical works progress. Two roads, Acacia and Simon Mwansakapopo, have been fully rehabilitated and asphalt laid.
Road 1 in New Kasama is being upgraded to bituminous standard, and the same applies for Mahobo Road, which links Shantumbu and Sam Nyoma, formerly Kasama Road. Speaking after the tour, local government minister Gift Sialuvalo expressed happiness with the pace of works.
The Lusaka will transform in the next few years. We need to open Lusaka, there should be access also to motorists and even the pedestrian. We've seen what has happened in the Garden compound, the Fred Joe Road, where asphalt works are done.
Mr. Sialuvalo wants all hiccups that delay works to be addressed.
Those other service providers should make sure that they move in tandem with the requirements that the government wants in opening up these roads. So meaning, when the contractor says we need these facilities to move, they have to make sure they move in to correct the situation.
The rehabilitation and upgrade works are expected to be completed by April 2026. Wilson Mulinda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
China trade in services fair opens with focus on AI and global cooperation.
A congratulatory letter from China's President Xi Jinping delivered at the CFTE's opening ceremony in Beijing. Read out to those gathered, it emphasizes China's steadfast commitment to the high-level opening up of trading services.
Now I will read the congratulatory letter from His Excellency Xi Jinping, President of the People's Republic of China, to the 2025 China International Fair for Trade and Services. At present, the global economic landscape is undergoing profound changes, with both challenges and opportunities in development. China is ready to work together with all parties to advance openness, innovation, and cooperation in global trade and services, foster an open world economy.
Under the theme Embrace Intelligent Technologies, Empower Trading Services, this year's CFTEs brings together delegates from 85 countries and international organizations, along with all provinces, municipalities, and autonomous regions across China. Australia is the guest country of honor, with Anhui named as the province counterpart.
With CFTEs as a key platform, Anhui aims to showcase its strengths and innovations, expand openness and cooperation, and attract more service trade enterprises to settle and grow in the province. Our goal is to work toward establishing a national demonstration zone for innovative development in trade and services, contributing Anhui's wisdom and solutions to the country's service trade sector.
Nearly 2,000 enterprises are present at CFTEs, including around 500 Fortune Global 500 companies and industry leaders. Many international participants say their decision to attend reflects strong confidence in China's services market.
China offers enormous market potential, supportive policies that encourage innovation, and a stable business environment, all of which we truly value. We now regard the Chinese market as a key strategic market globally.
Over the next 5 days, SIFTIS will feature more than 170 forums, business matchmaking and promotional events, bringing together over 260 high-level guests from around the world. Nearly 200 new products and innovations will be released, alongside a rich list of consumer and cultural activities. Cao Chufeng, Sidi Tian, Beijing.
And with that, we have now come to the conclusion of today's episode of On the Reader News Analysis. To stay tuned for the Onkonana Dengue program brought to you by Louis Sashimi. From Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful weekend. Make sure that you drive safely and don't drive under being intoxicated. You want to save your life and you want to get there safely. Remember, it's better to get there late than never.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.